all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are when we're driving in your car. And you're talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody out, round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax. You're trying to be cool, you look like a fool to me. Tell me why the hell they go and make things so complicated. I see the way you're acting like you're somebody else, gets me frustrated. A life's like this, you fall and you crawl and you break and you take what you get and you turn. Dressed up like you're something else. Where you are and where it's at, you see, you're making me laugh out when you strike your pose. Take off all your preppy clothes. You know you're not fooling anyone when you become somebody else. Don't ever
President of the United States, who was never President of the United States. Was he an early drug user? Let me. He wrote of it in Poor Dick's Conspiracy in 1761, while still an apprentice bookmaker in colonial Philadelphia.
So I betook me to the Hashfire Inn for a secret caucus of the hotheads, rebellious libertines all, lusting for life and liberty. The real George Washington brought the hemp, and Ollie the evening papers. We quickly proceeded to get standard medals, and young Tom Everson distretched by the hemp, which smoked us all like Boston scrub. What a fetid fervor of freedom.
I say, let's have a revolution.
It was fiery Sam, the tax collector, to which Big Ben replied,
fine, Sam. Then we can invite over a bunch of immigrants and make cars.
Yes, 1761. Hemp kindled the fires of American history. Nervy clockwork films. Then an alternate look at an alternate history. For an alternate culture.
Well, I don't have to tell you everything you know about the revolution is wrong. You know that now.
Democracy was achieved by such a long, arduous, and heroic struggle that it can feel embarrassing, even shameful, to be pretty disappointed by it. Perhaps the best guide to such feelings and to modern democracy in general is a 19th century French aristocrat, Alexis de Tocqueville. For de Tocqueville, democracy was a highly exotic and new political option. He'd been born in 1805, when Napoleon was the populist dictator of half of Europe. But he presciently believed that democracy was going to be the future all over the world. And so he wanted to know, what would that be like? To find out, he set out to America with a grant from the French government. Arrived in New York, together with his friend Gustave de Beaumont, in May of 1831, and then embarked on a nine-month journey around the new nation. After his journey, he compiled his thoughts into one of the greatest works of political philosophy, Democracy in America, published in 1835. In the book, de Tocqueville was particularly alive to the problematic and darker sides of democracy. Five issues struck him in particular. In France, the society that de Tocqueville knew from childhood, making money didn't appear at the forefront of people's minds. The poor had almost no chance of acquiring wealth, and the tiny upper stratum of landed aristocrats didn't need to make any more money. As a result, for very different reasons, money was not the way to judge a life. However, the Americans that de Tocqueville met on his journey believed constantly that through hard work it was possible to make a fortune, and that to do so was entirely admirable and right. Money seemed to be quite simply the only achievement that Americans respected.
Well, we're back. And you're back inside the Money Bubble with me, your host, B. Buck Bunny Mumble. And by satellite, we're going to go to our daily interview feature and open up the lifestyle portfolio. People who double as bubble insiders.
Hello there.
And Bill Sproul, CEO of Worldwide Syncholistic Systems, graduate of Yale with an MBA from Oxford Shoe. Bill made his starter fortune by relocating low-interest families from their high-rising properties to online irrigation glitches along the old information highway. And very entrepreneurial of you, Bill. Bill? Can you hear me, Bill?
Not the music there.
Oh, well, somebody fade the music out. Thank
That's
you.
That's better. Welcome to my Sproul Smart House.
That is some edifice I see there, Bill.
Yes, that's what my starter wife said.
You know, your digital domain in Billville must make you the envy of all your neighbors.
Well, funny about that, Buck.
What's funny about it?
Well, you just double-click this, and there goes the neighborhood.
It's the land of the Pharaoh.
Oh, that's close, but it's Vegas.
And is the pyramid opening?
Not till Thursday.
Good.
Click, click. We're back in Billville.
Well, that's just amazing.
Well, what is amazing is that in a Sproul smart house, your level of conspicuous consumption is directly connected to your bank balance.
I know everybody cares
about
that. The
house knows it and shows it. Look, I must be making a killing because my artwork is improving as we speak.
Oh, look at that.
My new descending a staircase is upgrading into
It's a Picasso. No, it's a Kandinsky. Is that a Hockney?
No, it's a crying Elvis on black velvet.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. My Louis XIV is going Motel 6. Five. Four. Three.
What's happening out there, Bill?
I'm losing my assets.
Well, look, if you're not rich anymore, then you don't belong on this program. You got any famous last words for our listeners?
Lick my zipper. I'm out of here.
For example, de Tocqueville observed that in America, people believed that a book that did not sell well just couldn't be any good, because the only test of goodness for any item was how much money it happens to make. Democracy and capitalism had thus created a seemingly equitable but also very flat and oppressive way for humans to judge each other. In a chapter of Democracy in America entitled Why the Americans Are Often So Restless in the Midst of Their Prosperity, de Tocqueville sketched an enduring analysis of the relationship between high expectations and dissatisfaction, between political equality and envy. When all the prerogatives of birth and fortune have been abolished, when every profession is open to everyone, an ambitious man may think it is easy to launch himself on a great career and feel that he has been called to no common destiny. But this is an illusion which experience quickly corrects. When inequality is the general rule in society, the greatest inequalities attract no attention. But when everything is more or less level, the slightest variation is noticed. That is the reason for the strange melancholy often haunting inhabitants of democracies in the midst of abundance, and of that disgust with life sometimes gripping them even calm and easy circumstances. The old, rigid, hierarchical European system that had denied all hope of social movement to the poor was just in 1,000 all too obvious ways, de Tocqueville recognized, but it had offered those on the lower rungs one notable freedom. The freedom not to have to take the achievements of quite so many people in society as reference points and then find themselves severely wanting in status and importance as a result. Typically, we think of democracy as being the opposite of tyranny, but de Tocqueville noticed that democracy could easily create its own specialized type of tyranny, that of the majority. Democratic culture, he thought, often ends up demonizing any assertion of difference, and especially cultural superiority, even though such attitudes might be connected to real merit. In a tyranny of the majority, a society has an aggressive leveling instinct. It's regarded as a civic virtue to take on anyone who seems to be getting above themselves and to cut them viciously down to size. De Tocqueville was disturbed by the way in which in the United States, people of no distinction refused to think that anyone could be better than them just because they had, say, trained to be a doctor for 7 years or studied the law for 2 decades or written some very good books. A healthy and admirable reluctance to defer to people too easily encouraged an unhelpful refusal to accept any kind of submission at all. And yet, as de Tocqueville saw it, it simply must be the case that some people in society are wiser, more intelligent, kinder, or more mature than others, and therefore should be listened to with special attention. Democracy was, de Tocqueville thought, fatally biased towards mediocrity. You'd suppose that democracy would encourage citizens to have an open mind. However, de Tocqueville came to the opposite conclusion, that one could find few places with less independence of mind and true freedom of discussion than in America.
What do you think that these executives are afraid you're going to do to white America?
Stop some racism.
Stop racism?
Yeah. I'm probably afraid of that, because then people don't hate each other. And people start talking to each other, and then they start talking to each other, they find out who's the problem.
Which is?
Greedy people.
Greedy. I have a couple things I want to ask you there. Do you really think that some of the guys that you dealt with at NBC, no names, right? Because there's lawsuits for that, too. That some of these guys really want to promote racism actively, or is it a subconscious?
I just think it's part of capitalism, is to promote racism, you know. Right? In order to make things work. If you feel better because you're white and you can get a job, you use that. I mean, you know, I would.
Absolutely.
You say, I'm sorry, Jack, but shit, they say I'm white, I'm gonna use this.
Right, absolutely.
Get this job, I'm hungry, you know. But and that separates people. So they keep people separated, and that keeps them from thinking about the real problem. That's as simple as I see it. Probably it's not that simple, but.
No, all right. You and I are about the same age, right? We're in our mid-30s. How long is it going to take before guys who think like you, and I say guys who think like me, people who don't want to have racism in the country, people who don't want to be oppressing any minority, whatever it is, sexual, whatever minority, really get into positions of power and can change things?
You can't get in a position of power, it seems, if you think like that. It seems that the only time you get in a position of power is if you like the people that are in power. To me, I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, people that get to become executives become like the people that were already executives.
I don't know, maybe.
They go in with good intentions, but it eats them up. It's like a cesspool, you know, it just gets on you and it starts eating.
The system levels them.
Pretty soon it's
Is
all gone.
Is that what a cesspool sounds like?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Trusting that their system was fair and just, Americans simply gave up on critical thinking and put their faith in newspapers and so-called common sense instead. Furthermore, as this was a commercial society, Americans were very conscious of not wanting to step too far out of line with their neighbours, who might also be customers. It was better to trot out clichés than to try to be original, and never more so than when there was to sell. Although de Tocqueville says a lot of really quite grim things about democracy and America, de Tocqueville wasn't anti-democratic or anti-American. He was just trying to show why living in a democracy could in some key ways be really quite annoying and frustrating. He is teaching us the stoic lesson that certain pains just need to be expected. Don't be too surprised or shocked. Don't come along with the wrong expectations. Politics in a democracy is going to be pretty awful in some major ways. It's not that we're doing anything specifically wrong, it's just the price you pay and should be willing to pay when you give ultimate authority to everyone.
Greed, like a million goes to break board, waiting for the new souls, bringing them down to earth, game board, tossing up the fresh dice, lost with a tap of your arm. You can have no secrets if you wanna lie. Up top to yourself, with a face that won't give it away. Underneath an angry sky, we run naked then we hide. Blinded by the light, you close your eyes. Are they really your eyes, or are they cameras? We know to the outside, inside. The warm water naked through shards of glass, to let the time pass. Your hands touch my body, but are we from the same planet? Words drip like water down your face, and all you have to do is take it in and pretend it's alright.
To do is take it in and pretend it's alright.